Welcome back. 29 minutes to 11 o'clock, to 12 o'clock. Sorry, I've just been woken up by the smell of the best coffee in the studio. I don't think this coffee has, the studio has ever been filled with the smell of this type of Java. Before joining us in studio is Kath Bland. She's the head of research and qualified Q grader at Being There Coffee Company. Kath, thanks so much for coming in. But what is a Q grader?
A Q grader is basically somebody who's been certified to be able to taste good quality coffee, essentially. Mm. Yeah.
Now, look, the consumption of coffee continues to grow in South Africa, and I'm not, you know, talking about instant coffee. I'm talking about the consumption of good quality coffee. I'm not even talking about the coffee retail brands. You know, many people are finding that you have small owner-run coffee shops, not even in the CBD, but around the city, even in places like Khayelitsha. They are really, really quality coffee shops that are opening. People are really opening up to the investment in a good cup of coffee.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people are able to taste quality. And so what we're looking for in coffee is just a lovely, clean, sweet cup of coffee. And I think it's often the sweet part that people sometimes find surprising. They're expecting coffee to be bitter or strong or something like that. But actually what we're looking for is sweetness. And I think with the focus more on quality, people are starting to pick that up and they're starting to be able to taste that in the actual cup themselves itself.
And so, at the same time, people are becoming more ethically aware of where, you know, the products that they consume come from, whether it be almond milk or whether it be palm oil, whether it be coffee. People are looking for ethically sourced products, which not only doesn't negatively affect the environment, but also doesn't negatively affect the people who are involved in the processing of that product. And that's why fair trade is so important. Are people quite cognizant of that, particularly when it comes to fair trade coffee?
I don't think that they're as aware as they should be. But I think people are definitely getting more aware. And I think particularly in the coffee industry in the last year and a half, there's been a big focus on traceability and transparency in the supply chain. People are definitely starting to ask, where does my coffee come from? How is it grown? Who's growing it? And where is the money going that I'm paying for this cup of coffee, which I think is a great thing.
The majority of the coffee that we consume here in South Africa, I'm talking about, you know, store-bought coffee shop bought company, and whether it be on the high street here in Long Street or whether it be at a, you know, quality coffee shop in Khayelitsha, where is the majority of our coffee coming from?
I think the majority of that coffee is probably still coming from South and Central America. There's still, Brazil is one of the biggest producers in the world, and I think that's probably where the majority of coffee is coming from. I think there's tending to be a focus on African coffee, so you'll see single origin Kenyan coffees or single origin Ethiopian coffees all over the place. But I still think the majority of what we drink in a cappuccino or a latte is from South and Central America.
And you could taste the difference between something that is single origin or something that is a blend of coffee beans from different parts of the world?
Yeah, I could.
What would that difference be?
So I know African coffee really well, and African coffee is incredibly fruity. It's incredibly, every flavor under the sun is in African coffee. It's very off the wall. Whereas South and Central American coffees are more your chocolatey, nutty, smooth, slightly boring coffees. But yeah, that's just my opinion. So
We are speaking to Kath Bland. She's the head of research and a qualified Q grader at Being There Coffee Company. We are going to be testing some coffee, but also be talking a little bit about fair trade and ethically sourced coffee. And if you are a passionate coffee drinker, I'm not talking something that you buy off the shelf and make at home. Yes, there are some good coffees, but you particularly go out, it's on your commute from home to the office. It's when you walk from the station here in Cape Town to your office or wherever you are commuting to. Do you have a favorite coffee spot in and around the city? Give me a call, 021-446-0567, or drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. I'm a bit amused, Kath, that when brands like Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks opened in South Africa, everybody was absolutely going wild because it's an international brand. It's something that they've seen on TV. But many people are left absolutely disappointed when they first buy a Starbucks or a Dunkin' Donuts coffee, because compared to what we can get from owner-run stores here in the CBD and around, doesn't really compare to you know, what we can get in terms of real good-tasting coffee.
Yeah, I have a huge amount of respect for Starbucks and what they do in the industry. They buy a lot of really good quality coffee, which means that the rest of us can stay in business. They're buying and keeping producers in business, so they're keeping us in business. But I think the thing particularly about places like Starbucks or international brands is that they're roasting somewhere else. And there's nothing like freshly roasted, freshly ground coffee. I mean, if you want to increase your taste experience immediately, just buy from your local roaster, and you're going to get a much better experience than coffee that was roasted half a world away a few months ago.
As distributor, have you seen an increase in people opening up coffee shops around the city? Is it a booming industry, a booming business?
Yeah, I think it is. I think there's also a lot of people just really enjoy coffee. They enjoy the sociability of it, so they're quite keen. We're finding more and more that people are quite keen to open coffee shops to bring their community together. And I think that's one thing that Cape Town coffee shops do really, really well. I think they open up, they get a really good loyal following, and they bring a community together, which I think is great.
Well, I'm really keen on getting stuck in this coffee. I see that you have a thermos flask here, but you also have a little jug with ice in it. Are we having an iced coffee?
We are, yeah.
Oh, excellent. Well, while you pour, we're talking about ethically certified fair trade coffee. If you could maybe just also explain to us while you pour, what makes a particular coffee, you know, ethically certified or fair trade?
So fair trade is a certification that's really just about trading fairly. So at the moment, or for the last couple of years, the cost of production for producers has actually been higher than what producers are getting for the coffee that they're selling. And that's no way to do business. That's not sustainable for anyone. So we really want to focus on making sure that we're paying a fair price for the coffee that we're buying.
Well, while you pour, but at the same time, I'll ask you to put your headphones in because we're getting a few calls coming in. One at a time. Of course, you're working with a hot scalding product here. But let's go to the phone lines. Is it Francois in Houtbay? How are you doing, Francois?
Hi, how's it? Yeah, I've got a question. I'm so glad that it's the actual lady from Bean Day. I used to buy your coffee. I don't know. I can't remember the exact name now. The one with the purple label.
That's our Kenyan coffee.
That's it, yeah. So I used to buy the ground, and I loved the taste. And then we got a grinder, and I started buying the beans. And I grind the beans almost to the exact same consistency, but the coffee just tastes completely different. And I don't know why. Is that, do you do something different with the ground and the beans, or does it go through another roasting process? Why is that?
I'm not 100% sure, but if I were to hazard a guess, I think so once your coffee's been ground for you somewhere else, you're starting to lose flavor almost immediately. So by the time the coffee would have reached you, if you were buying ground coffee, it's maybe mellowed out some of the complexity in the Kenyan coffee. Our Kenyan coffee in particular is quite a complex coffee. And so if you're freshly grinding your coffee, you're getting all of that complexity up front. And that's maybe something that you weren't used to before. So, yeah, it's maybe something like that. Does that make sense?
Makes sense, yeah. Thanks.
Cool.
Franche with Ian Halpe, thanks so much. So now you've decanted some warm, hot coffee out of a thermos flask into a filter. At the bottom of the filter, it's a canister with ice. You're brewing some iced coffee for us. Just explain this process to us and what you have prepared for us.
So what I have here is a Chemex, and we're basically going to be drinking an iced Chemex. So I don't know if you've had an iced Chemex before.
I don't know what a Chemex is.
So a Chemex is really just a way of making filter coffee. The Chemex was designed by a chemist in like the 1950s, 1960s, and it's actually a work of art. So you'll see a lot of people use it as a vase or something like that, but it is actually, it's a great coffee-making tool, and it's actually my favorite, so that's why I brought it in today. It just makes the coffee really clean and really sweet, so it just emphasizes those good quality flavors. And then we're having the iced version just because it's summer and it's probably something that you've never had before, so yeah.
I'm a coffee shake person more than a iced coffee person, but I'm willing to try. What type of brand? What type of the origin of this particular coffee that we're going to be tasting today?
So this is actually our Kenyan coffee. So I
chose
the one
that Francho was talking about.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
I can see why it's so good.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I came in here, the whole studio started to smell of just really lovely fresh coffee. So. It's a really complex coffee. It's got lots of berries in it, and yeah, lots of sweetness as well. So, and then as soon as you add it to ice, so all of those aromatics are now, they're almost frozen in a sense in the actual brew itself. So it's going to be hopefully a really sweet, fruity, lovely coffee.
A lot of people are becoming, you know, quite connoisseurs of coffee now. They talk about coffee as if they talk about wine. Should we be too, like, if you enjoy it and you know what you're doing, you should obviously appreciate it. But should we be taking things like coffee? Is it a thing like taking coffee too seriously? this is coming from a qualified Q grader.
Yeah. So I don't think so personally. I think that you can go as deep as you want to, and there's always something new to learn and something new to experience, particularly taste wise. But in terms of taking yourself too seriously, probably not. Just take yourself with a pinch of salt. There are really no firm opinions in coffee.
Is re-coffee coffee?
I think we would probably still be friends, but wouldn't have a cup of coffee with you.
Friends and family, soon to be ex-friends and family, who still maintain they want a cup of re-coffee in the morning. But oh well, to each his own. But you've poured me a glass of iced coffee.
Yes.
Is there a certain way that I should be approaching this?
No, so just black. You'll find that it's probably unlike coffee that you've had before. So probably more tea-like than coffee-like. So yeah, okay. I'm hoping you enjoy it.
I'm speaking to Kath Bland. She's the head of research and qualified Q grade at Bean, the coffee company. We're talking about ethically sourced fair trade coffee and the explosion of coffee shops around Cape Town, but she's also prepared me a delicious Kenyan origin coffee. Let me just have a sip here. That's not as bitter as I expected it. I've always been a person who would take a drop of milk in my coffee because I felt that overpoweringness of you know, black coffee was a bit too much for me, but this is quite delicious. More and more taking their coffee without milk.
Yeah, absolutely. I think more and more people are just looking for alternatives to milk as well. So now you mentioned almond milk and oat milk and soy milk, and I think people are just reaching for something other than dairy at this point.
Many people are turning to making coffee at home, whether they're grinding it themselves and, you know, preparing it as you did right now. It's quite a very intimate process. You know, preparing your cup of coffee. In the past, you would either put on the kettle or put on the coffee machine and it would do all that. But there's, you know, not science, but there's a bit of intimacy, you know, pouring your coffee into that filter and watching it, you know, slowly filter down into the decanter.
Yeah, I think people enjoy the ritual of it. I mean, whether they're making it as a plunger coffee or whether they're making it as a Chemex or an Aeropress, or I think people just enjoy the ritual of it. And definitely, again, just something that you want to share with people. Mm. So you definitely want to, make coffee for people as opposed to just yourself.
How much coffee do you drink a day?
So the funny thing is that I work in a roastery, so I'm actually breathing in the caffeine and I'm absorbing it through my fingers all the time.
How do you sleep?
Yeah, so I don't actually drink too much. I'm probably drinking, on average, about 3 or 4 cups of coffee a day. So,
There's a question on the WhatsApp line. I find the coffee at all the well-known coffee shops bitter, which is why I never drink it, or I have a very milky latte. Why do they have so much bitter coffee? Why do they have such bitter coffee? Says the person on the WhatsApp line.
I think one of the reasons is because. I don't know who in particular these people are referring to, but bad quality coffee, I think people are able to taste as well as they're able to taste good quality. Mm. And so, again, good quality coffee, you're paying. The only way that actually helps the supply chain is if you're paying good prices for good quality coffee. I think if you're paying for bad quality coffee or if you're paying bad prices, then the whole supply chain is in trouble. And I think that's what people do. It's easy to reach for a cheap coffee, and unfortunately, that's what happens.
This is actually my third cup of coffee for the morning, and with the person who drinks one, I actually just felt a heart palpitation.
Oh dear.
Just one question. Someone's asking about putting butter in your coffee. What banters are these on the WhatsApp line? Is it a growing thing, people dropping a knob of butter in their coffee?
I don't know if it's growing. I think it was a fad a few years ago, I have tried it, and it's really not my cup of tea. Mm. I just really like coffee.
Not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
Well, Kath Bland, she's the head of research and a qualified Q grade at being the coffee company. I'm going to finish this very, very lovely Kenyan coffee. I feel a second palpitation, so while we go to an ad break, I'll pop out a Xanax and maybe can control my heartbeat.